You're listening to a Radio 191 FM podcast.
Next guest is hailing to us from the UK, Jennifer Reid. We've got her on the line to kōrero about their latest record, The Ballad of the Gatekeeper, which came out earlier in the year. In May, Jennifer is a practitioner of Lancashire industrial era street poems. And it's an incredible medium that I've never heard of before, so I'm really looking forward to this yarn. Good morning to you, Jennifer. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you. It's pretty dicey out here in Dunedin at the moment. I don't know if you came down to Dunedin, but it's a city renowned for being quite cold, frosty, and also having the same city layout as Edinburgh in Scotland.
Yeah, that's weird. I'm going to Edinburgh this weekend, so I'm going to be trying to get some intels for when I come there next year. Mm-hmm. But your south is cold. That doesn't make no sense to me as an English person, the north.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense to me that your north is... Oh, actually, no, that makes perfect sense. You toured Aotearoa in April. How do you find it visiting here?
Oh my God, amazing. So cool. Like, there's loads of expats from England or people that have direct links, like the north of England, which is just, you know, fantastic, my signature dish. But I never met, like, Kiwi people. I'd never even known what New Zealand looked like. So it was just such an amazing thing to be able to come to the North Island and just go up and down and meet everyone. Everyone's so kind. Yo, it's like a big family. It's lovely.
Mm-hmm. I think it kind of is. I mean, there's, like, 5 million people. Everyone as maybe 2 degrees of separation from everyone else. And I mean that literally. Like, it's very hard to not know people in New Zealand. Yeah.
Yeah, that blows my mind. I thought the north was close. Like, I know quite a lot of people on Bury Market, but still, I can't beat New Zealand on that.
You have to come down to Dunedin sometime. I reckon you'll really vibe with it, and it's like really like old gothic Scottish architecture. It's really sick.
Beautiful. I think I have a couple of gigs there next year. I've tried to do a lot more South Island next year just to make sure I cover all ground.
Mm-hmm. In terms of urban centres, there's like maybe 2 or 3 major urban centres that don't really compare with the size of Auckland or Wellington, but in terms of nature, like, it's pretty unparalleled here. It's pretty gorgeous.
Yeah.
I want to get into talking about your practice doing these Lancashire industrial era poems. Does anyone else do what you do? Are you kind of one in this scene?
I would never say one of one. There is a rich tradition. There's a few singers and musicians that do specifically Northwest focused things, but I like to think that when it comes to Lancashire dialect, I just channel all my energy into that. So other people's practice might have different elements of the folklore tradition, but I just really try and push on in the dialect.
Mm-hmm. It was interesting listening to your chat on, I think it was RNZ, where you were talking about, what is it, the white letter poems versus the black letter poems?
Yeah, black letter ballads are in the old English gothic font style.
Yes.
So like font. Uh-huh. And then the white letter ballads are in almost like a Times New Roman, like a serif and sans serif font. Like, they're kind of just a bit more typeface, and they're much easier to read.
Mm-hmm. And you do the white letter ballads, correct?
I do the easy to read ones, yeah.
Fair enough. Do you think you'll ever try your hand at the black letter ballads?
Yeah, and I did them hungover in Oxford and I never got invited back, so that's that.
At like the University of Oxford?
It was at the Bodleian Library, so close enough.
Oh, wow, that's incredible. Oh, my gosh. Well, speaking of Oxford, what did the upper classes think of this music back in the day? You know, did they know it existed? Did they have any opinion on it back in the Victorian era?
Yeah, like ballads, even though they were disseminated on the street, they were a firm part of culture. And even when it comes to the music hall around about the 1880s and singing is put onto a stage, people would still turn their nose up and be like, why am I going to go to see a show with music and singing? I hear it all the time anyway on the street. So it was a total different singing culture that they were living in. And really, in this modern age, we've lost touch with that. And when you put singing as a talent on a pedestal, for me, really, you you discourage a lot of people from singing when singing is a universal human right and everyone can do it.
Mm, that's interesting you're saying that, because that, I mean, this is quite a different example, but in a similar vein, I mean, in the 80s with hip-hop, producers and DJs used to be the, like, star figure, and rappers were the people who would just hop on and do a thing to support the DJ. Now it's completely reversed.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. People want the individualism, they want the performer, and really it takes a whole host of, like, if I didn't have the people that went before me preserving the traditions, I would have nothing to sing. So it is just, it's a rope through time that we've all got to hang on to.
I totally agree. In Te Ao Māori, there's a concept of the ahika, which is a long burning flame or long burning fire, which is something that you have to keep lit to retain connection to your whakapapa, your whenua. So that's genealogy and land and all sorts of stuff. So that's, it's a kind of a cool Venn diagram there, a little bit of crossover.
Yeah.
That's great. You really throw your voice in these songs in a way very distinct from other things I can liken it to, which might include slam poetry or modern singing. You know, did it take you quite a while to master this style of vocalizing necessary to deliver these folk songs?
Interesting question. Cool question, Zach. I front two punk bands, so I very much enjoy getting in people's faces and pushing my voice to the nth degree. Mm-hmm. When it comes to singing the Lancashire dialect, I kind of dial it back. So really, that's like me kind of muted, but I do throw a lot of my personality in there. I think being a performer in the modern day is one thing, and you can, you know, we have the freedom now to follow our practice in whatever direction it takes us. But when it came to singing on the street, you're within singing distance of about 4 to 6 different hawkers all doing the same thing. Mm. So if you didn't have a style, then you were never going to sell anything. So I really do try and operate in that kind of moment where the stage hasn't even been invented yet, really, and the street is where it all takes place.
The medium is the message.
Yeah, for real.
That's so cool. Now, notably, you opt to go for an a cappella style because you said the music is so intimate. Would these songs in their time be accompanied by instruments? And if so, what kind of instruments?
Yeah, you'd have a fiddler in the pub. I mean, you'd have lots of travelling journeymen who might do, have instruments with them as well. Chapmen going from town to town with their big heavy packs, you know, they might have things going on. But I think often in taverns and pubs there would be like a fiddler for sure, and then usually everyone had a song, so you kind of stand up and do your party piece, so everyone kind of came to every situation musically capable. This is what I'm trying to like communicate. So it wouldn't matter if there was just a handful of strangers in the pub, they could usually cobble together a pretty good show.
Wow, that's just I can't imagine that kind of that I don't know, that form of connection and that ease of access. That's remarkable. Mm-hmm. That's so remarkable. Mm-hmm. I listened to that RNZ chat you had, and in that chat you also talked about how you get in the mind of the people of the Victorian era by looking over like things like, I think you said blueprints of some description?
Like the maps and stuff, the street.
Yes.
How things were like.
The street maps, because not all these songs are verbatim from those times. Not all of them are verbatim ballads. Some of them are ones that you've created. Are there any other ways that you try and get into the mind of living in that time?
I mean, I have been poor and hungry before. I'm hungry right now. It's one of those as well, like when you try and mess with your own body. So when I'm kind of feeling down, and then you kind of lend yourself to a murder ballad, and then you also understand that in Bangladesh the song like Sharigan is like the song of the boatman, which kind of takes on the atmosphere of the area. So the boatman is paddling in big, long, wide strokes along the long, flat, wide, still river away from his love. And that is the kind of pathetic fallacy that ballads can bring out in you, but you kind of have to be feeling the emotions at the same time in order to give a great performance. Mm. So for me, it's natural to be like, if you're sad, you're sad, you do this. But there's one song called Belly and Back, and it's a guy's hungry stomach shouting at his back, being like, you've got it all right back there. He's literally just spent his money on a coat, and you look great, but now he's got no money to eat, and I'm really hungry. And the back is like, would you shut up? I'm trying to have a good time. So performing that one hungry, it lends yourself to you side with one of the characters, then it really, like, it brings it out. It's kind of ridiculous that this is my job.
You know, it's a great job to have. And that's definitely some humor there. There's a few serious themes on this new album, Ballad of the Gatekeeper. One of them I noticed was, I guess, workers' rights and worker revolts, because there's a line on Spinning Shoddy about a factory being like a prison. Do you see this music and this new record continuing a practice of class consciousness?
Always. You can't have me in the world and it not be an exercise in class consciousness. I'm afraid that just doesn't go down without me there. I always try and bring out the worker and the jovial and more beautiful elements of the workers' lives, because when they reduce their jobs on like census records, I get quite upset with that, because these were fully fledged beautiful human beings. I also mentioned like climate change, the gender binary, the tradition of the tradition as it goes forward in modernity. Like, there's lots of workers and historical things on there, but then there's also new things, so people can begin to trace that link for themselves. It's all about identity.
Yeah, it's great. One of the linchpins of this album is the title track, which urges the folk scene to not gatekeep the next generation from entering. What do you see as some of the gatekeepy tendencies, intentional or otherwise, from the folk scene?
I think it's just simple things, like if there's young people in the room singing a song about a lusty maid might go down kind of crazy, or if you set up a folk night, don't put it in the back room of the con club where you kind of have to wade through a couple of old soaks that'll kind of leer it. You know, just like a lot of these barriers that people might not realise that kind of socially now aren't really cohesive with a good time. And I just want to swing wide the gates to folks so that the young people can get involved. So I do a lot of shows where, you know, I invite my audience to sing with me. Like, there's no stress. You can talk to me afterwards. Like, I'll help you with your research. I'm always available. And then we put on like folk showcase nights, so we have like some exhibition of like modern art and like current art students exhibiting on a theme, and then I'll do like a sing around and we'll have performances, and it's more about showcasing that everything currently in modernity is folk art. If you live it, it's folk art. Like, it just even because it's modern, like for me, a shopping trolley in a canal is folklore, because that's you know, it's normal. Like a chemist warehouse bag could be folklore if it reminds you of your nan and it takes you back to that place. You know, it's part of your history. And that's what I'm trying to encourage people to understand now. It's not the past. We also are living it currently.
Yeah, totally. That is, you know, people think that the romance and the magic out of this world has completely drained. And it's hard to find the magic sometimes, but I think if you embrace a perspective like that, you can stay happy.
Yeah, for real. Yeah, it's like, it's important for me to have this in my life in order to be able to smile when it's bad, you know. It's always funny, you know, it's always cool.
Totally agree. Have you got any other plans for releasing any projects this year, or are you going to hold off until next year or the year after?
Oh my god, I always have so much on. I have 2 days off a month. I have like a monthly weekend. Luckily, recently it landed both days next to each other. It felt amazing. Yeah, I've just got loads of stuff. I've got albums, I've got projects, I've got stuff I can't speak about. I've got big plans for New Zealand next year, so hope I'm going to come and sing around about Dunedin, I think, around about the turn of the year on New Year's, and then go all the way to April. I'm looking for gigs like Otago and the West Coast. I've been given a book of songs that relate directly to those places, so I'd love to share them.
Awesome. Okay, that's fantastic. Well, hopefully when you're down in Otipoti at the turn of the year, you can come by and hang out in the booth. That'd be awesome to have you here.
Hell yeah, I'll sing for you. That's cool.
That'd be awesome. All right, well, thank you for joining me, Jennifer. Is there anything you'd like to leave our lovely listeners with?
I just can't believe how cool New Zealand is, and I can't wait to be back, so I'll catch you all there.
Well, we'll see you then. Take care, man.
Nice one.
Take care. All right, folks. That was Jennifer Reed. We're talking to them about their latest record, The Ballad of the Gatekeeper, which we're going to play a track for you from. We also have a chat at 10:20 with Georgia Knight about her new song, Desire. You're listening to The One. Keep it locked. ¶¶
A jolly gatekeeper was tending his garden, a place where he felt the safest of all. And when folk walked past, he oft begged their pardon when their conversation would...
That was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcast.